بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. The subject matter continues on the issue of imama, and we came to know in part 24 that there is nothing in the Quran which indicates what they had went to, that there is a textual evidence for Ali or for the rest of the 12 imams to the Shia, to the rejectionist Shia, that specifies Ali or any one of them to be the ruler over Muslims. So from the side of the Quran, this was clearly and evidently and explicitly refuted. Now let's consider their evidences from the Sunnah, what they consider to be proofs from the Sunnah. The rejectionists clinged in their attempt to affirm the text for wilaya of Ali, for the reign or governorship or rulership of Ali, they clinged to some reports from Ahl Sunnah which speaks about the merits of Ali, which speaks about the merits of Ali radiallahu anhu. They clinged to that and attempted to use it as a proof in addition to the multitude of lies which they have in their narrations concerning this matter. Now the merits concerning Ali radiallahu anhu has nothing to do or cannot in any way be considered as a proof, textual meaning, for rulership, neither in the Arabic tongue, in the language, nor in the tradition, and above all, nothing legal, not as well in the minds of the sound people. Rather, these are merits. But what these rejectionists did is that they took it as claims for their belief in a textual assignment for Ali. Ibn Hazm, rahimahullah, collected the narrations regarding the merits of Ali radiallahu anhu, and from the merits which the rejectionists cling to is the following, which came in Sahih al-Bukhari: أنت مني بمنزلة هارون من موسى إلا أنه لا نبي بعدي. In this hadith, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم went out for Tabuk, for the battle of Tabuk, and appointed Ali رضي الله عنه as his deputy in Medina. Ali said, "Do you want to leave me with the children and women?" The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Will you not be pleased that you will be to me like Harun, like Aaron to Musa, to Moses? But there will be no prophet after me. But there will be no prophet after me. So the Rafida clinged to this merit mentioned by the Prophet ﷺ, will you not be pleased that you will be to me like Harun to Musa, but there will be no prophet after me? In fact, there is no proof whatsoever for the rejectionists to conclude from this that this is a textual assignment of Ali for the wilaya, or the walaya, the rulership. This does not necessitate for Ali a merit above others, nor a deserving of the imama after the Prophet ﷺ. Why? Because Harun did not assume the rulership of Bani Israel after Musa alayhi salam. You understand? Rather, the one who was in charge after Musa alayhi salam was Yusha bin Nun. Yusha bin Nun. Who is Yusha bin Nun? I'm asking you. Who is Yusha bin Nun? Who is he? His companion, the boy who was with him in the Khadr, yes, Yusha bin Nun, the young man, who went to meet Al-Khadr, alayhi salam. Similarly, as the matter was given after the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, to his companion in the cave. Who? There was the companion of Musa when they went to Al-Khadr. And, Abu Bakr. That's right. Abu Bakr. Who traveled with him to Medina. So, if Ali was not a prophet, as Harun was a prophet, and that neither Harun was a Khalifa, a ruler, after the death of Musa, ruling Bani Israel, then by all means, him, Ali, being like Harun to Musa, in fact is what? In what? In kinship. Only in kinship, only in relation, only. Clear. Also, I repeat this: if Ali, remember what the points that were made first, if Ali was not as Harun was to Musa, right? He's not a prophet. Right? And Harun was not a ruler upon the children of Israel after Musa. So therefore, when the Prophet ﷺ said to Ali, will you not be pleased that you will be to me like Harun to Musa, then this is what? Relative to what? To kinship, to relation. You understand? Only. Clear now? Okay, alhamdulillah. And also, the Prophet ﷺ said this to him when he assigned him over Medina during the conquest of Tabuk. The hypocrites began to talk, you know, whisper. They said maybe he was a kind of a burden, or so that's why he kept him So they began speaking ill. So the Prophet says, then Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu went after the Prophet ﷺ and complained. And so the Prophet ﷺ told to him, you are to me like Harun to Musa. Meaning that he put him in charge of Medina to be really in charge and with full choice. Also we know that the Prophet ﷺ, before Tabuk and after Tabuk, he assigned in his travels, he assigned to Medina men other than Ali. So therefore, this assignment to Ali does not necessitate a merit over others, nor a rulership after the Prophet ﷺ, just as assigning other than Ali does not necessitate it for them to be what? Does not necessitate it for them to be considered as the rulers after the Prophet. You understand this argument? Also, resembling Ali to Harun is not greater than resembling Abi Bakr to Ibrahim and Isa. And in resembling Umar to Nuh and Musa, as came in Imam Ahmad Musnad and Al-Hakim in his Mustadrak, and At-Tirmidhi reported some of that or part of it in the Book of Jihad. So you understand, because these four are better than Harun, right? These four are better than Harun: Ibrahim, Isa, Nuh and Musa, right? And each one, Abu Bakr and Umar, are being resembled to two instead of one, isn't it? To two prophets instead of what? Of one. So therefore this resemblance is greater than the resemblance of, in the case of Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. Not to mention that assigning Ali, as we know, there were other assignments from other companions as well. So therefore, such an assignment is not something particular to Ali, nor the resemblance to a prophet in some of the situations is a particularization. Is that clear? So therefore, they have no basis for this argument. Fine. This is one. Let's go to the second one which they cling to. This is the other hadith now. And this is in Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. In this hadith, as reported in al-Bukhari, listen please carefully. Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu happened to stay behind the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and did not join during the battle of Khaybar, for he was having eye trouble. Then he said, how could I remain behind Allah's messenger? So Ali set out following the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When it was the eve of the day and the morning of which Allah helped the Muslims to conquer Khaybar, Allah's messenger said, لَأُعْطِيَنَّ الرَّايَةَ غَدًا رَجُلًا يُحِبُّ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَيُحِبُّهُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولَهُ. I will give the flag to a man, or tomorrow a man whom Allah and his messenger love will take the flag. Or said, a man who loves Allah and His Messenger, and Allah will grant victory under His leadership. Suddenly came Ali, whom we did not expect. The people said, "This is Ali." Allah's Messenger gave him the flag, and Allah granted victory under his leadership. So, they said, "This is another proof." But subhanallah, this attribute is an attribute entailed for every Muslim and every meritorious Muslim. Right or not? Right or not? So this is not a description particular to Ali, because others love Allah and the Messenger, and Allah and His Messenger love them. However, this is a testimony for Ali in name, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave in testimony in names to whom? To the 10 who will enter paradise. Right? So this is not from his a particularization for his, not to mention that this could be taken as a text for his imama and for his infallibility. And the Rafida, the rejectionists, who say that the Sahaba apostated after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, cannot take this as a proof. Why? Because the Khawarij, the dissidents, say that Ali is one from those who apostated. In fact, Al-Ash'ari mentioned that the Khawarij, the dissidents, are in agreement that Ali is a kafir. Wal-Iyadu Billah. And Ahlul Sunnah nullify the saying of the Khawarij by many evidences. So, this is another so-called evidence of theirs, and you can tell its uselessness, in fact, futility. Fine. A third one is a hadith reported in At-Tirmidhi. And At-Tirmidhi said it is Hasanun Sahih. At-Tirmidhi said about this hadith, Hasan Sahih. أن عليا لا يحبه إلا مؤمن ولا يبغضه إلا منافق. None who loves Ali except that he is a believer, and that none who hates him except that he is a hypocrite. This is reported by Tirmidhi, and he said this is hadith حسن صحيح, good authentic hadith. However, was this particular to Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu once more? May Allah be pleased with him. Let us see. Al-Ansar, the helpers of Medina, as in Sahih Muslim, no one who is a believer in Allah and in the last day hates them. This came in Sahih Muslim. So, the love of Ansar and love of Ali is from faith, right? And hating Ali and hating Al-Ansar is from hypocrisy. Clear? In fact, there are other narrations which are in agreement with the same wording that came regarding Ali in the hadith in At-Tirmidhi, that which reported by Al-Shaykhan Al-Bukhari and Muslim. And anyway, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-Ansar لا يحبهم إلا مؤمن ولا يبغضهم إلا منافق. Ansar, no one loves them except a believer, and no one hates them except a hypocrite. And as to the narration, من كنت مولاه فعلي مولاه, whoever I am, his helper and protector, then Ali is his, then this is not authentic to begin with. And as to the hadith of the Mubahala, which is in Sahih Muslim, when the verse from Surah Al-Imran 3, verse 61 was revealed, فَقُلْ تَعَالَوْ نَدْعُ أَبْنَاءَنَا وَأَبْنَاءَكُمْ, Al-Ayah, come let us call our sons and your sons, our women and your women, ourselves and yourselves, then pray and invoke sincerely the curse of Allah upon those who lie. This is known as Al-Mubahala. Pray and invoke sincerely that the curse of Allah be upon those who lie. The Prophet ﷺ invited Ali and Fatima and Hassan and Hussein and said, Allahumma ha'ula ahli, O Allah, these are my family. This is in Sahih Muslim under the Book of Merits of the Companions. In this there is no proof for the Imama of Ali, and nor for the preference. Why? Because the Mubahala, pray and invoke sincerely the curse of Allah be upon those who lie, takes place by having those who are relatives to have them involved under this situation of dua. Because if one would involve those who are remote in relation, even though they are more meritorious with Allah, the purpose of mubahala would not be met. So for this hadith of mubahala, there is mentioning of Ali and Fatima and Hassan and Hussein. Not only mentioning of Ali, you understand the difference. There is not mentioning of Ali alone. There is mentioning of others whom the Prophet ﷺ brought. So therefore there is no particularization of Ali. Similarly, in the hadith which is in the two Sahihs, when the Prophet ﷺ mentioned about Ali, أنت مني وأنا منك, you are from me and I am from you. Others also, the Prophet ﷺ spoke to them like Ja'far, أشبهت خلقي وخلقي, you resemble my creation, my nature and my character. And he said to Zayd, أنت أخونا ومولانا, you are our brother and you are مولانا, close Mawla. So there is no evidence for particularization from these narrations for the general rulership. Now you may wonder, why then the Rafida choose now to take from the books of Sunnah as evidence for them? This is mockery, deception and lies. They want to use these ways of taking what they call as proof from the books of Sunnah in order to cover up for their people and say, you see, we are in agreement, even Ahl-Sunnah are in agreement with us on this. Also, I want to mention something else. There are so many narrations which they attributed to the books of As-Sunnah, which they have fabricated, and the people of Ahl-Sunnah went and searched, and they couldn't find any basis for it in the books of Ahl-Sunnah. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah mentioned, وَرَأَيْتُ كَثِيرًا مِّن ذَلِكَ الْمَعْزُوءَ الَّذِي عَزَاهُ أُولَئِكَ يعني بهم شيوخ الروافض الذين اطلع على كتبهم إلى المسند والصحيحين وغيرهما باطلاً لا حقيقة له. منهاج السنة Volume 4, 27, he said, and I have seen that which they put as reference by their shiyukh, reference narrations in the book, in the musnad of Imam Ahmad and the Sahih and others. I found this futile, baseless, nothing true. So fabricated. And they say this, they are in the books of Sunnah. So their followers from the Shia, who follow them blindly, ay, mashallah, you see, this is in the books of the Sunnah. Many, many narrations. We go to their so-called strongest proof from the books of Sunnah. This is their reliance. This is known as, to them, they call it Hadithul Ghadir. Hadithul Ghadir. Their keenness about stressing the importance of this so-called Hadithul Ghadir went to the extent that some of their shuyukh made special books on it. Volumes reaching 16 volumes. He called it Al-Ghadir fil Kitabi wa Sunnah wal Adab. And they narrate that when the Prophet ﷺ reached a point in the valley between Mecca and Medina by the Juhfa, where there is Ghadir, some water there. And this Ghadir is Khum. This is the wadi, this is the valley between Mecca and Medina by the Juhfa. After he finished from Hajjat al-Wada', when he reached this point, he addressed the Muslims that his wasiyah, his trustee, and the one who takes rulership, Khalifa, after him is Ali bin Abi Talib. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his saying, commanded him for this declaration, in his saying, Ya ayyuha rasulu, in Surah Al-Ma'idah 5:67, Ya ayyuha rasulu, بلغ ما أنزل إليك من ربك وإن لم تفعل فما بلغت رسالته. O Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, proclaim which has been sent down to you from your Lord. And if you don't, then you have not conveyed the message. They said that what he conveyed was the conveyance that Ali shall be the trustee and the Khalifa after him. And their Sheikh Al-Majlisi and others reported from their fabricated narrations in Bihar al-Anwar, volume 37-108 to page 253, that he gathered the Muslims, the Prophet ﷺ, and he said, O people, أَلَسْتُ أَوْلَى بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ مِنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ, am I not more entitled towards the believers than themselves? They said, Allahumma bala, oh certainly, by Allah. So he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, man kuntu mawla fa'aliyum mawla, whoever I am to him as his protector and helper, then Ali is the same to him. Allahumma wali man wala, oh Allah, give wilayah to those who give him wilayah, and have enmity to those who oppose him. and give aid to those who give him aid. And the books of tafsir with them took this narration to be the strongest for the Imamah of Ali. You can refer to Majma' al-Bayan and Tafsir al-Safi and others, and Al-Burhan. And the rest of their books also, consider it, as in the Mutahhir, Al-Qazwini, Al-Sadiqi, Khalil Yasin, Al-Zanjani, Al-Asfahani, others. They mention this report as a leading report, which they take as a proof against Ahlul Sunnah. And this hadith was taken by Ibn al-Mutahhir, and Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah refuted that beautifully in his Minhaj al-Sunnah, volume 4, page 9 to 16, 84, 87, and other places. And most of the scholars of Ahl al-Sunnah, in response to the Rawafid, refuted this report and their conclusion. And from that first, in the refutation that this hadith, those fabricators added to it. And to a group from Ahl al-Hadith, there is nothing in this report which they consider to be authentic, except his saying, "Man kuntu mawla, fa'aliyum mawla." Whoever I am his mawla, protector, helper, etc., then Ali is his. And as to the rest of the report, alastu awla bil mu'mineen min anfusihim, are not more entitled to the believers than themselves, etc., then this is the chain is daif because of the weakness, is weak because of the weakness of Ali bin Zayd bin Jad'an, one of the men of the chain in narration in Sunan Ibn Majah. However, others from Ahlul Hadith consider that the entire report is inauthentic. And Ibn Hazm rahimahullah, he said, in principle, the entire hadith or this report is inauthentic, and he reported from Bukhari and Ibrahim al-Harbi and others from Ahl al-Hadith that they considered it to be weak. And Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said, as to the Prophet saying, quote unquote, "Man kuntu mawla, whoever I am his mawla, then Ali is his," he said, "Falaysa huwa fi sihah," yani there is nothing in the books that are authentic in the collections of hadith. However, it is from some of the reports which some people of knowledge reported, and they disputed regarding its authenticity. However, the rest of the statement, "O Allah, give allegiance to those who give him allegiance and have enmity and against those who don't, and give help to those who give him," etc., he said this part is kadhib, a lie, by agreement of the people of hadith. This is in Minhaj al-Sunnah, volume 4, page 16. And now look at how Shaykh al-Islam even rahimahullah deducted from the wording that this report, not from the chain only, that from the wording it is fabricated. Let us see. The statement, "Allahum mansur man nasarahu," O Allah, give victory to those who give victory to Ali, meaning, he said, examining this text, shows that it is against the affirmed historical facts. Are you following? Because we're going to come to something important now. This statement, "O Allah, give victory to those who give him victory," is in opposition to the affirmed historical facts. Why? He said, فَإِنَّهُ قَاتَلَ مَعَهُ أَقْوَامٌ يَوْمَ صِفِّينَ فَمَنْتَصَرُوا. There were people who fought with Ali in the battle of Siffin, and they did not win. And others did not fight, and they did not lose. Like Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who opened Iraq. He did not fight with Ali. Similarly, the people, the companions of Muawiyah and Bani Umayyah, who fought Ali, opened many of the lands of the Kuffar, and Allah gave them victory. You see that? You see this deduction by Ahlul Ilm? This is opening from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to them. This is from the protection of the deen. This is from the protection of the deen, whereby they reach these amazing deductions, even from the text, penetrating understanding by what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows upon them. You understand the point? Do you understand the point? This is in Majmu' Fatawa Shaykh al-Islam, volume 4, page 418. Now, let us take another one. Let's take another point from this report. In this report, there is the statement which we heard. Allahumma wali man wala. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give help and aid to those who help, and give him aid and, you know, protection, and have enmity against those who have enmity towards him. He said this statement. Listen, please. He said this statement, مُخَالِفٌ لِأَصْلِ الْإِسْلَامِ. This statement is in opposition to the principal foundation of Islam. Why? He said, فَإِنَّ الْقُرْآنِ, because the Qur'an, قَدْ بَيَّنَ, made it clear, أَنَّ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِخْوَةِ, that the believers are brothers, مَعْ قِتَالِهِمْ, despite their fights amongst themselves, and transgression of some against the others. Isn't it this true? Allah called them what? Brothers. He called them brothers, although they fought amongst themselves, isn't it? You understand? You understand? So therefore, this statement is in direct opposition. This statement is what? In direct opposition. Now, then Shaykh al-Islam, rahimahullah, after mentioning the two reports from the people of knowledge regarding the authenticity of this report, you know, some saying it is inauthentic, some saying it is authentic, he said, meaning the statement, whoever I am his mawla, then Ali is his mawla, he said, إن لم يكن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قاله فلا كلام. If the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم did not say this statement, then there is nothing to say. Right? If he didn't say it, then there is no problem. The problem is solved. There is nothing to say. Right? Now, فإن قاله, now, suppose he said it. In case he said it. Now the question is, did he mean that decisively the khilafah, the rulership after him belongs to Ali? He said, فَلَمْ يُرِدْ بِهِ قَطْعًا الْخِلَافَةَ بَعْدَهُ. Then he never intended decisively that the khilafah belongs to Ali after him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why? Why did he conclude this? Listen, he said it simple. straightforward. He said, إِذْ لَيْسَ فِي اللَّفْظِ مَا يَدُلُّ عَلَيْهِ. Since in the wording there is nothing to indicate it. And he said, وَهَذَا الْأَمْرُ الْعَظِيمُ يَجِبْ أَنْ يُبَلَّغَ بَلَاغًا مُبِينًا. And that this matter, this great matter, must be proclaimed and conveyed in a very clear way. You understand this? Yani the Prophet ﷺ would not have left it ambiguous. And another point is, the mawala, yani the aid, the protection, the help, is in opposition to al-mu'ada, enmity. And that this matter of mawala is for every believer. Yani the Prophet ﷺ had he intended that this meant the rulership and authority and to take charge of people after him, he would have mentioned this explicitly, as he explained to them the salah, the zakah, the siyam of Ramadan, the hajj. He would have said them, this is the authority after me, obey and listen. But nothing of this took place. And we know that who is best in advice to the believers? I'm asking you. Who is best in advice to the believers? Who? The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So you think he would have kept this most needed advice? He would have kept it? Certainly no. Certainly no. So this matter of muwala is for every believer. Now why did the Prophet ﷺ then particularize the name of Ali here? Why? Because some of the companions of Ali began to have hatred towards him. And they started complaining against him. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent him to Yemen, before the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam left Medina for the Hajjatul Wada', for the farewell pilgrimage, he sent him to Yemen. When he sent him to Yemen, there a group began complaining and they manifested some hatred against Ali. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam intended to show his love to him in particular now, and incite them to love him and to give him muwala and not to have enmity against him. And so he said his statement, and that the Muslims should give wilaya to the other Muslims and not have enmity against them. Furthermore, we add the following. The verse, يَا أَيُّهَا الرَّسُولُ بَلِّغْ مَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ مِنْ رَبِّكَ. O Messenger, proclaim that which had been sent to you from your Lord. This ayah was revealed before, a long time before the Hajj, before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made the pilgrimage. And the day of this Ghadir, the day which they called the day of Ghadir, this place in the valley, this was on the 18th of Dhul Hijjah, after his return from Hajj. After his return from Hajj. So whoever said this from the Shia, from the Rafida, that this verse was revealed on this day of Ghadir, you know, the one who fabricated it does not know how to fabricate. You know the conclusion? He does not know how to fabricate. Why? Because this verse was revealed, long time before the pilgrimage of the Prophet ﷺ. And the day of this Ghadir, in which they said that this ayah was revealed, took place on what? The 18th of Dhul Hijjah, after the return from Hajj, this day of Ghadir. You understand? You understand this point? There is no coherence. There is direct opposition in timing. So the one who fabricated this, you know, does not know how to fabricate. Furthermore, what Imam Muslim, rahimahullah, reported concerning this Ghadir of Khum is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ يُوشِكُ أَنْ يَأْتِي رَسُولُ رَبِّي فَأُجِيبُ. I am only human. The messenger of my Lord is about to come and I will surrender, meaning for death. وَأَنَا تَارِكُمْ فِيكُمْ ثِقَلَيْنِ. And I will leave you with two things. أولهما كتاب الله. The first is the book of Allah. In it is الهدى والنور, guidance and light. فخذوا بكتاب الله. So hold to the book of Allah. واستمسكوا به. فحث على كتاب الله ورغب في. So he incited the adherence to the book of Allah and to take by it. Then he said, وأهل بيتي. أذكركم الله في أهل بيتي. And my household, I remind you by Allah concerning the household, my household. Sheikh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah commented on this. He said this was reported by Muslim and was not reported by Bukhari. And in it, there is no trusteeship except in following the book of Allah and this is a matter which has been also stated and affirmed by the Prophet ﷺ in his farewell pilgrimage, and he did not command to follow the household, but he said he reminded us concerning the household and reminded the Ummah. What does this mean? This means to remind them as to what he already reminded, that their rights to be given to them and to hold from doing any kind of justice or injustice to them. And this matter was made clear before the day of Ghadir. So now it became known that in the Ghadir there was no revelation assigning a right for Ali or for other than Ali. Also, the reminder concerning the household is not something particular to Ali radiallahu anhu, but this is common to what? To the rest of the household. Alu Ali, the family of Ali, the family of Ja'far, the family of Aqil, the family of Abbas. So therefore, this is the greatest dalil, so-called. Now we have covered their greatest evidences, quote-unquote, from the Quran. And now we have covered their so-called greatest evidence from the Sunnah. And we mentioned why they were taken from the books of Sunnah, when we know that they're Rawafid, they don't believe. You know, the Rawafid, they don't believe in anything that comes from the Sunnah, because what? They consider the companions what? You fill the blanks. The narrators are the companions, because they consider all the companions except the 3 and maximum to 7 as what? As kafirs. So how come now they are taking from the books of Sunnah? You see? This by itself is evidence against them. But they do this for two things. To convince those who are in doubt and those who are perplexed from their followers, deceiving them that these creeds are agreed upon, quote-unquote, between the Sunnah and the rejectionists, and that Ahlus Sunnah are only arrogant. They don't want to admit, yet it is in their books, quote-unquote. The second is to busy the people of the Sunnah, is to busy the people of the Sunnah in these matters, and to refute and to defend. In order what? Not to reach the books of the Rawafid and to study them and reveal what's in them from ignorance. But now, alhamdulillah, this is much better. The people of Sunnah went after these books, found them, especially in our latter times. Many of the scholars from India and Pakistan in particular, from them is Al-Shaykh Ihsan Ilahi Zahir Rahimahullah, who was then killed by the rejectionists, reached their books. And now, alhamdulillah, most of these books of them are available. And that's where all these fabrications, which we refer to from part 1 to part 25, came from. As they stand, their books are evidence against them. Without even going to the exerting the effort to refute them. As we concluded earlier, when we presented to you their statements, you could easily come to the conclusion that we don't even need to check that. But no, we do. But just to make the point, but however, in order to enlighten the people, it is evident that this is important, so that we protect, by the will of Allah, people from falling into the trap of deception and lies. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for making this possible to present and to refute their claims. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High, protect our Muslims everywhere from the deception and plots of the deviant sects, whoever they may be. And there is a benefit from all of this, by the will of Allah, is to make the people, the Muslims, aware that they should study the deen, their deen, the deen of Islam and Sunnah, properly, and come to submit to the true Islam. True Islam. Know what is true from what's false. And to take these matters seriously in educating themselves concerning the deviance. But this cannot come except when they become committed to learn the true Islam, the Islam based upon the Quran, based upon the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, as understood by the ones whom Allah is pleased with, and they are pleased with Him, the Sahaba. They are the mu'mineen. They are the believers. And we are commanded to follow their path. And anyone who deviates from their path, he falls under the threat of being punished in hell. نسأل الله عز وجل بأسمائه الحسنى وصفاته العلى to make us from the followers of سبيل المؤمنين and to enlighten us on the truth and to make us from those who hold to it. إنه ولي ذلك والقادر عليه وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا.